Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. We have a new group coaching opportunity starting tomorrow, the 5-Mile Challenge, where people are going to be supported to take on a challenge that ego has stopped them from taking on, and if people choose, to use that as a fundraiser for Candelumba. It was inspired by the guide talking about how she had taken on the challenge walking 5 miles a day to raise funds from Candelumba. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Deepa, who has joined the group coaching and said yes to taking on that challenge. Welcome, Deepa.
Thank you so much, Anna.
Perhaps you could start by telling us what inspired you to join the group coaching and what you're looking forward to being supported around.
I would love to. Thank you so much for this opportunity. As you just mentioned, I was inspired when I heard Sherry talk about her 5-mile challenge a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. In practice this year, I've been looking at a lot at how structure can support intention. And when I heard Sherry's 5-mile challenge, it struck me how a structure can not only support life's prompt and intention, but also in that process support something I care very deeply about.
So the structure can support life's prompt and can support something that you care deeply about, so a whole process of support.
Yes, it was just too astonishingly brilliant. And a second part of that was, since you asked me about my inspiration, a few weeks ago in one of our Sunday workshops that was led by Jen on being the change, we were asked to consider what we would do for the world, what our vision for the world would be if we had unlimited resources. And what came up for me in that workshop was a little painful to see, because I saw that a lot of the times that workshop was the start of it, to see that big dreams of visions get sacrificed at the altar of logistics and getting bogged down by the nitty-gritty detail or what ego voices tell me are things that need attention, and so the big picture drifts away.
I bet you're not alone in that, Deepa. We're all relating. Yes.
So with respect to my particular challenge, there is a technological interface aspect that's involved, which which needs to be put in place if I would like to see my challenge reach the fruition that I see for it, or that I am excited about for it, and that in turn will further support this cause that I care about. And then there are these ego voices that tell me that, oh, you've never done it, you've never managed to do it. If you could have, you would have, and, you know, all of those sort of things that drain the energy from that original excitement.
Yes. And it sounds like what I'm hearing is you're clear on the difference between here, because what I heard when you said that, Deepa, is, you know, in that workshop we were invited to imagine what would we do if we had unlimited resources? What would our vision be? And when we're here, we do have unlimited resources, don't we? And not maybe in the sense of material content things, but in the sense of being available to all the intelligence that animates. And so here you are, you have this vision, you have this idea, you have this project, and then you're aware of all the limiting voices that come in, right, to try and shut that down. You can't. And, you know, when I said, well, we can all relate, that's why we do it together, isn't it? That's why we join a group coaching like this, to support us to stay with that yes, to stay here as those limiting messages come in.
Oh, yeah, I'm just completely goosebumping right now. Yes. So to sign up, I'm excited about the group coaching, and because I want to poke that bear, as Sherry frequently says. And poking the bear at this point seems really vital, because if I've been practicing at a certain level, this opportunity to serve something that's so much bigger, that seems so much more vital and urgent, it seems like a brilliant opportunity to up the ante.
Aha, a brilliant opportunity to up the ante. Yes, as you said, to serve something that's bigger than the small s self or that little m me, to be inspired to go beyond those limiting messages for the love of something that we love.
Absolutely. So I had this idea or this dream or this excitement even before group coaching was offered. And so I'm so really grateful for this opportunity to participate.
Yes, yes, me too. I signed up today too. I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what I hear in that is the excitement of getting to participate. It's like you get to participate in the project that you've had the idea to take on, and then we get to participate in the group coaching and hear everybody else's check-ins and hear what they're seeing.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so my challenge, would you like me to share the specifics? Or?
Absolutely, yeah, go for it if you'd like to.
I'm excited too. So I'm a painter, and my challenge is to make a few paintings that I would then love to offer for purchase. And if it does get bought, then the benefits will also go towards the Africa project. Mm. So the... what I'm hearing about that is that the first what I mentioned already, it involves some amount of, on top of making the work itself over the course of these 6 weeks, would be to facilitate how that would end up in a situation where it can be purchased, and all the technological or logistical stuff around that. So I'm looking forward to keeping me on track with the help of group support over the next few weeks in setting that up simultaneously as I make the work that I will offer.
Mm. Oh, how beautiful. I'm just cheering in that, like, make me an instrument, life. Make me an instrument as you're painting, and then make me an instrument of all of the other things that are going to happen around that to make these paintings available.
Absolutely. And the second part of it, which I was facilitated around a few days ago, for which I'm very grateful, it helped me see the conditioning more clearly, along with that came this idea that I would invite a few of my friends who are also makers and creators to join me to the extent that they can, and whatever we have collectively at the end of this process, we would offer to the project.
Mm-hmm.
But then the voices were very swift in how do you ask, and then if you asked and the response is not what you wanted it to be or what you believed it should be or what I expected it to be, then that's not going to work out. So just keep it small, just do your bit, and you can ask later on, or that sort of deferment or a downsizing of your original impulse is also something I'd like to poke. It's fitting, I think, that this is a chance to poke more than one bear.
Yes. And as we say so often in practice, right, Deepa, so life arises as that yes, and then ego is the no to life's yes. So there you are, so clear. There's this impulse to reach out and invite other people to participate with you, and you see all of the no's that come in. And, I'm just so excited about this group coaching opportunity as like as a training in that, right? So staying with life's yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
Doing whatever it takes. Yeah. Go ahead.
And it's also, it's like I said, it's what I've been looking at this whole year. It's what I explored with you in the Learning to Love Learning set of workshops. So I feel really that life is guiding me to this sort of moment where up until this point, like you just reflected, it was a small sense of self, but now it seems like this can be at the service of something so much bigger, and it sort of seems so much more expansive and opens the heart up that much more.
And where that authentic human being we call Deepa is the first beneficiary, right?
Yeah.
So included in that process.
Which is what is so amazingly generous and compassionate about this practice, for which I am so truly grateful.
Yeah. Oh, me too. Mm. And just to let folks know as we wrap up that registration for tomorrow's for the group coaching starting tomorrow is going to be open until 9 a.m. Pacific tomorrow morning. So if folks are inspired by this conversation, you can still hop on and sign up. Okay, well, thank you, Deepa. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, it was my pleasure, and I'll see you on the workshop tomorrow.
Yeah, see you tomorrow, huh? Okay, thank you. And Michael, we'll turn the show over to you and Jen.
Wonderful. Thank you, Anna, and thank you, Deepa. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael.
Great to have
you
here.
So good to be here, and just so fun listening to that conversation. Oh,
yes.
I'm so lit up.
Yes, yeah, exciting. I like that notion of poking the bear.
Me too.
I haven't heard that
Me
one
too.
In a while, so that was good.
Yes, oh goodness. And that thing of, how many bears do we get to poke with this one opportunity? So fabulous.
Yes.
Oh, it's such a perfect reframing of everything that we come up against in our lives in general, isn't it? Like, oh, great, I'm getting a poke this bear. That's so great. I really have been wanting to do that. But just, oh, so much that Deepa said that was so right on. I love that, just that place of, boy, gosh, this is something I've really been wanting to do, to work on, to you know, do. And here's an opportunity to be supported in that, because I know all the ways the conditioning is going to come at me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just how much she articulated the detail of that, you know, to try to make it small. No, I mean, not do that, but you can't, but it's probably going to, oh God, but then how are you going to, just all that conversation. And so to jump into the opportunity to, no, you know, there's going to be however many of us, it's going to be a big group of us on these calls, mm-hmm. to walk through those places together and to get to do what we actually want to do. It's so good. It's such a win-win on so many levels.
Yeah, what dropped in as you said that is to be supported in that perspective through the group, through Sangha, that I can have trouble getting to on my own. And yet
Completely.
With practice and with Sangha, then it's right there.
Yeah. And that's so good, Michael, because it's that the place that we could say the place that I have trouble staying, because it's where I would project, you know, people signing up for it are coming. When we sign up for it, we're seeing that possibility. We're in that possibility. And we know that the resistance is going to come because of that, because we're in that possibility. The resistance is just going to come barreling at us. You know, that bear
yes.
is going to come at us, right? And so,
yes.
Okay, great, that's fine. I'm going to reach out for support to do that. And that reminds me that I wanted to let folks know, since we did move the deadline for registering to 9 tomorrow, that there's certainly no requirement to know what you want to work with before signing up.
Okay.
So, yeah, sign up, join us. You know, that can absolutely be part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I have an announcement here.
Okay, great.
As we enter the season of gratitude and peace, join Sangha for a workshop this Sunday, November 22nd, to explore the ingredients that make a delicious meal of celebration. All donations for this workshop will support the Africa Project. Registration by 12 noon Pacific time this Friday, November 20th, is required. And for this and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to speak with Jen today, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show and then get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic would be great and about 5 minutes in length. All right, Jen, I think we are ready here.
Okay, great.
Cool. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. This is Isotta. How beautiful to hear from you.
Hey, Isotta, nice to hear your voice.
Ah, I always talk about the same thing. I feel I have ego destroying me. But still, can I tell you practice success that is related to the
Absolutely.
Same thing I talk about all the damn time? I'm so sorry.
And it's like that. Should we do a quick show of hands? Anyone else feel like they're always talking about the same thing?
Oh, I haven't thought about. Wow, that was such an ego trip, by the way. That I am the only one who always talk about the same thing. I didn't realize that. Ooh, that's so relieving. Fantastic. Okay.
Very good to see. Exactly. There's another practice success. See, they're everywhere.
Yeah, I have two. So I've been working throughout all the year about overwhelm at work. And various aspects of it. But today I'm so happy because something happened that I have been fearing all my life, which is I'm a real estate agent, and I have all these keys to all these beautiful apartments. Some are very expensive, etc. And today, for the first time in years, it seems like I lost a key. Well, somebody who I hired to help me lost the key for the first time ever. And so I had all this physical reaction to, you know, and then all of a sudden I realized, come on, you lost the key. Are you serious? You know, it's a key, you know. It's a key to an apartment. You know, he had been like civil unrest last week. And two young men died, you know, to protest for freedom. And I worry about losing keys, but not meaning in a self...
Not in a self-hating way. Yeah.
No, really, like... And it, you know what was amazing? That I could see all my body reaction, like I was all red. I got a migraine out of guilt and stress. And my head and my heart was pounding. But even if my body was going crazy, I was able to say, come on, it's a key. And I was able to say to this girl that works for me, look, keep looking for it. Come on, maybe it will appear. You know, sometimes things appear. And being, you know, like, a decent boss.
Right. Oh, yes. I mean, that is so big, isn't it? So to have that whole physiological reaction happening, you know, the body's having all those, panic kind of things go on, like as if it's a very terrible, horrible thing. And simultaneously, you're able to have that perspective and realize, you know what, it's just a key, both for you and for the woman who is working with you and who lost the key.
Yes, and since I was with people, etc., I couldn't take out my recorder, but I really think it comes from recording and listening.
Yes.
Because the nice voice saying, you know, it's a key, come on, you know? But it was not like, come on, you're exaggerating. It was a super sweet voice, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, another fantastic thing that worked so much to calm me down, since I project so much amazing compassion on you from Living Compassion. Another thing that came up was, you know, if you had lost Sherry's key, you wouldn't be afraid. You would be sad about losing her key, but you wouldn't have this reaction because you would imagine acceptance, you know? And so why can't you imagine what you are projecting on Sherry, projecting it to this customer? You know?
Yes. Oh, I do know. It is such a brilliant use of the tool of projection. It's so perfect. And because what you're doing in that is you're redirecting the attention, right? I mean, you can just see it, right? Self-hate has us, and it sounds like, you know, sort of in the unconsciously in the background, it's always like, better not lose a key, better not lose a key. Oh my God, can you imagine losing a key, right? And then, so, because you said the worst happened, right? So the worst happened. So self-hate is just, you can imagine it back there. Oh, this is so good, right? This is so good. We're going to just get to torture her here. So it sends out all that, the whole physiological reaction happens, the conversation wants to start up. But because of recording and listening, and because of that projection of the compassion onto practice, it's available to you to switch the perspective and to say, you know what, it's just a key. Would I project this if it were Sherry's key? No, because what I would be projecting is compassion. Great, let's do that. Let's turn the attention there.
Exactly. Oh my God, it's so amazing. I'm almost thankful that this thing happened, you know?
Yes, yes. It's like Deepa was talking about on the Good News Update. Accidentally, in this case, the bear got poked. And you had a chance to realize, I'm completely adequate to it. I'm completely adequate to that.
Exactly. I called just 2 seconds after that sentence, so I didn't, I guess it was 2 seconds because I didn't understand that part. But I will really listen to it as soon as it's online.
Well, what she was saying was that we were talking about the 5-mile challenge opportunity that's starting tomorrow. And she was talking about that place of choosing to go to do something that I really want to do, but that's going to kick up a lot of resistance from the voices. And so that image of poking the bear, like that image of, you know, instead of kind of, oh no, don't do anything that's going to upset the voices, like God forbid we lose a key, right?
Because what are the voices going to do to me? Poking the bear, I understand now. Exactly, it's exactly what happened. Yes. Yes, yeah. I feel like it's welcome. Yes, let's poke the bear. Yes. Fantastic.
Because now it can't hold that over your head anymore.
Exactly. And because thanks to practice, thanks to Sangha, I can use some tools like this project,
right.
Compassion thing. Oh, it's so fantastic. It's so fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful.
Oh, me too. Me too. And, you know, what you started off with is, oh, gosh, I'm talking about the same thing, right? And realizing,
mm-hmm.
you know, as Sherry will often remind us, thank goodness. Because how else are we going to drill so far deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into seeing all the aspects that are true for all of us? But we would never get that deep at the subtle layer you're talking about if we had to work with billions of content.
Yes, 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 yes. But anyway, now what you told me when I said that was so enlightening, you know, that I think I'm the one who has the only boring person calling. Come on. And it's
yeah, exactly.
A super ego trip. Yeah. Oh, I'm so thankful.
Well, lovely to hear from you, Asota.
Oh, thank you. Gashal to everybody.
Gashal. Yeah, to everybody.
Bye-bye.
Take good care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Asota. Jen, I don't think I could recall all of the amazing practice points that were made in that call. I did really like that idea of being identified and seeing that I'm identified at the same time, to be able to have the expanded awareness to, you know, get a kind of a firsthand seat at the show rather than just being completely hysterical and seeing no other aspect of it.
Yeah, truly. I was just writing that today, Michael.
Mm.
That place of that Sherry talks about, of being in the front row seat. It's so helpful to realize, okay, yes, this is a conditioned process. And as Asota said, it's a really familiar conditioned process, right?
Yeah.
I've been in this
yes.
one many, many times before. But to
yes.
have that realization that it's the show. In other words, it's not real. It's not real, but to have that really front row seat, boy, we get to see so much in that place.
Yes, yes, exactly. And the point you were making at the end also, that thank goodness I'm not waking up with different karma every morning.
Oof.
I'd get about an inch deep in it, you know, to get somewhere, and then the next day I'd be another karma. And it feels like both the blessing and the curse is that it is the same thing over and over.
Yes.
And
yes.
Ultimately it is a blessing.
It is. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Jenica, this is Leigh from Virginia.
Hey, Leigh.
Hi.
You know what? Yeah. I don't know if it's my phone or Michael, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you now. Yeah, I can hear you good. Yep.
Okay. Can you say your name one more time? I actually couldn't. That blipped out for me.
Oh, yeah. It's Leigh from Virginia.
Oh, great.
Hi.
Got it.
So I'm calling today about so I've had a mindfulness practice for a whole while now, and I've been getting into some sort of feeling like I stop feeling like there's any sense of feeling around my heart or chest area. And, you know, I've dealt with a lot of emotions, and I've seen how I am when I'm angry and when I'm sad or when I'm feeling nervous or whichever feeling that we normally think of. But this is kind of a new feeling, and I've been being worried about it because it just makes me feel like I have no control over it. It feels like mindfulness doesn't work when it comes to that particular place. And it's been really confusing. I really wanted to seek some expert opinion about that.
And so you described that you are blipping out for me a little bit. So let me make sure I'm on the same page with you. So
yeah.
It sounds like you're familiar with various emotions and kind of what those feel like in the body,
right,
and that sort of thing. And then there's a place in your heart. Is that what you said? Around the,
yeah,
the area,
yeah,
of your
around
heart
the chest
that's
area
sort of new and you're not familiar with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're talking about kind of physical sensations?
It can be physical, but mostly it's kind of like feeling like you've lost sense of something, like you're numb and somehow, or
I missed one word, that you're something somehow.
You feel like you're numb, like you can't feel that part.
Got it.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. All right. So a sense that you can't really feel your heart, that area of your body. There's a numbness to it. And it sounds like what you said is there's a sense of it's kind of worrisome because it's not something, it feels out of control, I think you said.
Yes, yeah. It's I've experienced some really bad experience with it. I've gone a whole day feeling like that, and it just felt like I wasn't feeling any emotions, like I was just stuck in some way, and
yeah.
I'm kind of afraid of feeling like that. it's been worrying to me. Yeah.
What? Sorry. Say that last part again. Feeling that.
It's been making me worried. Like, am I doing something wrong, or is it is it a common feeling? Is it something that meditators usually get? Or.
Right. Right. And Leigh, tell me, do you have a recording and listening practice?
Yes, I do.
You do, okay. And I'm curious, have you done any recordings around this and kind of been able to talk about that worry at all with the, you know, if I say the mentor, is that familiar to you?
Yes. Yeah, so I've done some recording around that. I didn't make it specifically about that feeling, but I've done a two-handed recording about when I was feeling that sensation, and what came up just didn't really describe what a mentor would say. It was just I really didn't feel like I was speaking to myself. I was somewhere else. Like I was really stuck, maybe in my mind, or I couldn't really figure out what it was about.
You couldn't really figure out what it was about. So when you did the two-handed recording with it, it didn't really feel like there was a connection there. There wasn't sort of, like there wasn't any really helpful, reassuring information that came to you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the things you said, Leigh, that I can't remember exactly how you said it, but, you know, I worry that it means I'm doing something wrong, or that, that something's wrong, basically. And, you know, so often for us, you know, as we do awareness practice, one of the things we really start to see is that the difficulty with anything tends to come from the conversation in our head around it. You know what I mean by that?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. And so it's, at least in my experience, it's always challenging, especially when there's something new like that. Like, wow, I'm not, you know, there's this new kind of feeling in my body and I'm not used to it and there's a numbness to it and, you know, that there can kind of be a worry with that. And so to then have a voice that's saying things along the lines of, well, I don't know, I mean, maybe there's something wrong, you're doing something wrong, or that makes it really challenging to work with it.
Right,
Yeah,
it's just, it feels like whatever way I've learned about dealing with emotions are not working anymore. It's, it's not a nice place to be in.
It can be a really challenging place. And I think that's one of the things that can be challenging for us as awareness practitioners is as we start to look at things and look in places that, you know, the voices never intended us to look,
right,
then things start to shift around. And maybe we start to notice things that may have been there the whole time, but we're just really paying attention at a closer level. And so things start to change, they start to shift, we notice more. And so there can be that sort of in-between place where it feels uncomfortable because it doesn't feel so much like, quote, me anymore, and I'm in this kind of new territory and just kind of working it out.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, yes.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a sense, Leith, of what you might, what might feel supportive in this situation for you? What might be a way you could work with it that would feel helpful?
But I've really tried everything that I can, that I know. And the part of the challenge with it is that I don't really know what works in that situation. It's kind of like the added confusion with it is just also challenging. So, I just don't have any sense.
Tell me again what you said was so challenging. I missed the first part of that sentence.
Being confused that. And not knowing what to do in that situation just adds in more worry, I find.
Yep. So not knowing what to do when those sensations come up, not knowing what to do.
Yeah. My usual reaction is sitting and seeing what comes up. But in this case, I feel like nothing is coming up. Sitting is not working.
Yeah. And so would you say it's a fear that when you have those sensations, is there a fear with it?
Yeah, it has developed. It has become, there's some fear around it because now that I've experienced it more than once, it's just, it tends to make me feel like, no, I'm in this place again. I have no control. What am I doing? Like, how can I get out of it? But when it first happened, I just felt like, this is new. I didn't feel any fear. Like the sensation is not about fear. It's just feeling like there's nothing to feel. Like emptiness.
So the first time there wasn't fear, and then the other times it felt like, oh no, there's no control with this. I don't know what to do in this place.
Right. Yes.
And does it feel like you do need to do something? What would it be like to give yourself some space and time to just notice?
I would have to be really focused on it and completely devoted to that, to like looking into it. Otherwise, I find like whatever I do, whenever I wave my attention out of it, just tends to kind of stay there and become worse, or just stay there and doesn't get resolved.
Become worse in the sense of painful or scary or how?
I don't really know. It's just confusing, to be in that place. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, as I say, it can be really, you know, difficult to be in a place like that that we're not used to being. And one of the things you might really do, you said you do have a recording and listening practice. Have you done any of the recording and listening training classes, or how did you start a recording and listening practice?
Yeah, I took a class, I think a 3 or 4 week class, and we've done all the exercises, and we went over all kind of.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I do know how that works.
Uh-huh. Perfect. Because one of the things that might be really lovely to do is to just let that person, we might say, when you're feeling that kind of like, wow, I feel out of control. Why is this, you know, this keeps happening and I can't stop it from happening, to let that guy talk, you know, so to put the recorder in the right hand and just let him talk about what that's like for him and why that's not comfortable for him, and that he doesn't have a sense of what to do about it. And then just putting that recorder in the left hand and just listening, just being with him. And, you know, one of the things Isota was laughing about this, you know, that the previous caller, you know, saying, oh, I'm calling in to talk about the same thing. So, you know, what we realize is it can take some time to be listening, right? So it may be, you know, doing a two-handed recording and then doing another one. And then when it happens, you do another one. I mean, one of the things that drives the voices crazy, of course, is, you know, we're trained to be you said there was some fear in it. We're trained to not want, to try to avoid an experience like that, right, which is what you're describing.
Yes.
But it's possible that if every time I have that experience, I turn to do a two-handed recording and I practice, you know, however you want to turn your attention to compassion, to unconditional love, to, you know, just being with this guy who is having a really hard experience, that can be a really amazing way to shift from, oh, I don't want to have that experience, to, okay, here's another opportunity for me to be with this.
Yeah, I mean, I find that really great when I'm feeling depressed or angry, but with this sensation, it's just, it feels like I don't have a great connection to it. It's really ethereal. So
it's really, what was the word, it's really what?
It's like it's not existent, kind of. It feels like it's not there. It's just, but it's definitely there. It's definitely like being cut off, feeling like not in control.
Well, so that's great because you have an experience of being with other things. You know what that experience is, and this is a new one, right? And so this is your opportunity to practice with, you know, an edge, we might say.
All right. Okay. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. And it would be great to report back, Leif, to kind of, you know, hear, because a lot of folks, I bet, could relate to that, you know, a place where, wow, this is different. You know, this is new. I haven't felt this way before. I'm not really sure how to practice with this. And so to just keep taking those steps of, okay, here it is. Good. I'm going to do a two-handed recording because it's up again. I'm going to see what I see with that. You know, I'm going to be with this guy who's having this experience. Next time it comes up, same thing, and to let us know how that goes.
All right, sounds good. Sounds great.
All right. Thanks for calling, Leif.
All right, have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Leif. Another fascinating conversation, Jen, and what was dropping in as you two were speaking is how conditioning doesn't like to be kind of nailed down as one thing, and loves to stay vague. And I know in my experience, it can just drive me crazy when I'm identified in that way.
Oh, yeah. When things are confusing like that and new and...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be really very challenging to work with it in that place. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And it's such a great idea with the two-handed recording and to have that person express himself seems very kind and generous.
And also that place that I know I've had in my own practice of where something's happening repeatedly. And again, instead of kind of that dread relationship with it of, oh, God, here it is again, to really consciously train to, okay, here it is again. Great.
Yes.
This is another chance to practice with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So helpful.
Yeah.
And Jen, we are going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Perfect. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Rutherford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. Some technical challenges there, Jen, you may have noticed.
You know, I so know that place, Michael.
I don't know how to say that with a straight face, which is probably a good thing. And we do have more callers here.
Great.
Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Helga from Charleston.
Hey, Helga.
Hi. You know, I just I put myself in the queue because for work reasons I can't participate in the radio show in the mornings. And I really miss it. So I just thought I'll just put myself in the queue.
Perfect.
In some queue.
Exactly. At least I get some cue.
Yeah,
I love that. I just love everything about that, Helga. Yep. It's that's what we've got. But you know what? I can get in the other queue. Great. Here I go. Get in the queue.
Yeah.
Not even for any quote reason other than that's what I do. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, well, and the thing is, you know, every time I do, and I, you know, generally in the morning get to talk to Sherry, you know, it's like it just makes my day. It makes me so happy.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think that's, yeah, that's why, you know, that's why I miss it. And anyway, so I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of different things I could talk about, but I was just thinking about how, you know, these last few months, I have participated in so many practice opportunities. I mean, so much more than before the pandemic, just because of what's offered online. You know, and as much as I miss the retreats, it's really been. I mean, when I think about it now, it's just been really amazing. I mean, I do almost all the Sundays. I'm in the email class, which I so enjoy. I just love the email classes. And anyway, and, you know, I did the two reflections. There's just so many opportunities to participate.
Yeah.
And I'm just very grateful for that. I really am.
And, you know, it's so... You make such a good point, Helga, because, you know, we always talk about when we're in retreat season, there's no substitute for being in person on retreat. And you know that because you've been in person on retreat many times. And that's true. There isn't. And I think one of the things we're all experiencing this year is, wow, it's very powerful to live your life inside of practice all the time.
Yeah.
Because that's what's happening, I think, for all of us all the time, is that, you know, every weekend we're on a workshop together during the week, you know, whether you can be on the show live or, you know, listen to it later. We've got that, plus we've got the daily focus from that. You know, then we've got all the recording and listening things that are being offered. There's quite a you know, the group coaching things that are being offered. All the things that it really adds up to, wow, we really are living our lives in practice, which is an extraordinary experience.
Yeah, and I don't think I've really felt it before like that, because I'm doing so much more with you guys now. Because it's just really important to me, especially during this time. And I feel like I'm so thrown back on myself. And it's such an opportunity.
It is.
You know, as painful as it is in a way, but it's also an incredible opportunity. And
That's well put. I really, really saw that when you just said that. I'm put back on myself. I think that's what you said. And that is such a good, people all over the world are struggling with the pandemic and being in really different life circumstances than they're used to being in. And it's both, as we've talked about a number of times tonight, it's both a challenge and it's a really helpful challenge if we take it on in that way. Because, of course, as awareness practitioners, to be so put back on ourselves, to have such a clear mirror, to not be able to get away from it, in quotes, in the way that we might have done before that we didn't even realize we were doing, can be a huge gift if we have the support to do it, which that's
right.
What you're talking about. There's so much support to do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I'm just very grateful.
And to be choosing it, to be choosing, as you said, it's not always easy, but to be choosing to avail yourself of all those opportunities and to see all the things you're seeing and to really be willing to look at all of it.
Yeah, and it's like it's what you just said, it's like so many of my distractions, they have fallen away, because I just don't want to engage in a lot of things. And so here I am.
And well put, here I am. Exactly. So.
And what I realized, especially with the email class, I'm really enjoying it. I'm really, really enjoying it.
Me too. Me too, Helga. So much. I enjoy it so much. And I love looking and I love crafting my response and I love seeing what comes back. And I really love, it's part of my early morning practice, sitting down with those responses and just sangha. Oh my goodness. what people are looking at, what they're offering, the generosity of their looking, the responses from the guide. Ooh, it's incredible.
Yeah, it is. It's like I always see, it's like opening Christmas presents for me in a way, because there's so many surprises. It's like...
Yes, that's so well. Yeah, I can go right there. Yes, exactly. So many surprises and so many. I love it when there's just, and there's a lot of them. Someone will write something, especially in that first group of submissions when people are kind of laying out what they're looking at, and to think, oh, I could have written that word for word. Absolutely word for word.
Yeah.
And then to get to watch it unfold. That person who wrote that thing is now going to explore that for the next six interactions, and I get to benefit from that.
That's all I have to
Good.
Say right now.
Excellent. Thank you. Excellent. I love it. Thanks, Helga. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Helga. Again, another fabulous conversation, Jen. And just briefly about the email class, which I love also, with the privileged environment and the anonymity that's provided, there's such a transparency and an authenticity. You can see people's heart. You can see their willingness, their humanity. It's just extraordinary.
It is. It really is. And, I don't know if this is a piece of what you're saying, Michael, with the privileged environment, but sort of that so people can have the safety or whatever word you want to use there to really talk about what's going on with them. And that feels like it's, people will talk about being on social media and feeling completely depressed because my life stinks. Like, look at everyone. I mean, everyone has right. a perfect life with, you know, and they're never, you know, their kids are perfectly behaved and, you know, all of those things. Which we know, especially as awareness practitioners, that isn't what's actually going on. And the email class right. is this place where, as you say, it's so clear. You know, people are laying out what they're really struggling with, and it's so clear mm-hmm. how good they are and how sincere and all those things. And so what we get to see is, gosh, well, that may just mean that the things that I struggle with don't mean anything about me. It's completely all right.
Yes, completely. Thanks, Jen. And we have another caller here.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Michael and Jen. It's Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey. Oh, it's great to be unmuted. There's a jolt to the system.
Exactly. Who needs coffee, right?
Oh, my God, that's like triple latte right there. It's great, though. It's so exciting. It's what the previous caller was saying. When we have opportunities to be facilitated or talk with the guide or you know, through Zen coaching, any of that type of interaction with Sangha, it's such an honor and a privilege to be part of the community. And Sherry said this many times where, you know, we sort of have our own language and we can relate to each other, and it's not a lot of things we can really talk about in the outside world. I certainly can't with my interactions with folks in the way that
without
we talk about
without people being a little nervous and maybe making some phone calls to their local.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, sure. So, but what I've been looking at recently, and I talked about it on a Reflective Listening Buddy call, about I'm in my second session of the commitment support, the commitment buddies.
Yes,
support
yes.
program.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness! And I've just seen this huge dramatic shift of going for years of wanting to aspire to do something, a little content piece, and how I've been talked out of it for years and years. Mm-hmm. It's something I've really wanted to do. It's really dear to my heart, and it was practice. And I got this support buddy, my first session, and I just put it down as a commitment every morning. Mm. And every evening, I just texted in that, oh, gee, that commitment was kept. Wow. Yeah. Just huge. And now in the second session, so huge. Mm-hmm. I've just kept the commitment. And I have the opportunity to be on both sides. I'm also a steward, and then I have a buddy. And it's really fun to also support folks out there that are sending me their commitments. But to know the piece in it that I'm really seeing in this second session is I feel like I've got this little cheerleader, a Sangha cheerleader, that is just, I laid up my intention in the morning, and I just feel this beautiful support of accountability that there's someone who's cheering for me, who's kind of rooting me on that I won't get talked of it, you know, even though there's a odd time I'll just say commitment not kept, that's my text, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Well, and one of the things I love, because I know that program too, is that I know that the response that comes back from your buddy is Gesho.
Sure.
And I love that you're receiving that as this completely supportive cheerleader who's on your side, just rooting for you.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. When you said that, another big piece of it for me is the simplicity of the program. Again, so beautifully structured in the privileged environment that there's a structure of we set our commitments and we get a gassho, or we get, if I don't even send a commitment, I might get a text was not received. Just a reminder of, oh, geez, I didn't even send a commitment. Okay. Well, I get to look at that. Where was I for that?
You know? Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, and Todd, not to put you on the spot if nothing drops in, but it just occurs to me, because the way you laid that out is so incredible. Here's this thing that you wanted to do. You know, you've really wanted to do it.
For years.
And along comes this opportunity, and you just say, oh, yeah, I'm going to use that to do that. And it sounds like what's happening now is you're doing it. You're just doing it. And you're texting in the morning what you're going to do, and it's the morning, and the end of the day, the commitment is kept. Yeah. And I imagine there are a number of people on the call who can relate more to the beginning part of that, something I've been wanting to do for years, and I can't seem to do it. Mm-hmm. Do you have a sense for you of how? How is that commitment being kept? The process around that?
Yeah. It's where the focus of attention has shifted.
Yeah.
So I directed the attention in the morning to that intention. It's a hard intention, and having it reflected back to me by another Sangha member who is in their heart, I project. And then when that time comes to do it, it's in the afternoon, I heard earlier in the call, like I get a prompt from life of, oh, here's our commitment. Mm-hmm. And we do it, and then at the end of the day, we send a text saying commitment kept. And it, again, I just think the tension is just more focused on keeping the commitment rather than, I think we instead of focus on how we suffer, we look at how we're not suffering or as practice moves on, something like that.
Yes, exactly. It's that place, there's a that one day in the year-long retreat where we're no longer practicing not keeping commitments.
Yes.
Right? We're practicing keeping the commitment.
Right.
And of course, in that process, we get to see everything that tries to stop us, everything that gets in the way. But the attention stays on the thing that I really want to do. It stays on the commitment. It stays on the intention in the morning. Stays on, and that accountability that you know you're going to be texting someone at the end of the day to say, yes, that commitment got kept.
It's one of the, you know, every practice opportunity is a wonderful program. I too many favorites to list, but this is a recent one that is just really, it's really grabbed my attention because I've really, and like you talked earlier, this chunk of karma has been coming up for well over a decade. It's the same karma. It hasn't changed, but it has gotten in the way of doing things that my heart wants to do. And just with this little, you know, commitment buddy program, it seems to cut right through it where nothing else has till now, which is really, that's where I'm in awe of it.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. And that's so fun, isn't it? Because that's a huge place in practice that I project we can get to is, you know, for however long you wanted to do this thing and, you know, you've been stopped and you've seen, I would bet, tons around that because you've been practicing for a while. Mm-hmm. And when we can get to that place of, and then at some point, I just start keeping that commitment, right? Yeah. And to know that's going to happen with everything. You know, it's that thing of nothing stands up under scrutiny. Yeah. If I'm willing to just keep practicing with this thing, it will shift. It will, because that's what happens.
Yeah. And interesting you say that because it's how you do anything is how you do everything. It now, that chunk of karma which has dogged a lot of other things that I do, I can see now where, oh, that's okay. Yeah, all right. Oh, okay. It's, you know, hidden in plain sight there. All right. You know, hidden in plain sight. It's now, you know, it's all kind of popping up everywhere now that this big chunk has been kind of like I poked the giant grizzly. This is the massive grizzly bear, you know.
Uh-huh.
These tiny little black bears are kind of around, or little raccoons, or squirrels, or whatever. It doesn't matter, but they're now don't have any safe refuge because I'm getting to see them at a more subtle level.
Yeah,
it's revealed.
Oh, I love that. That's the big guns. I pointed at ego, isn't it? I just pictured Todd when one of those comes up for us, like one of the big ones, right?
Uh-huh.
Starts talking to us and just say, "Oh, thank you. That's a great idea. I think I'll use that for my next commitment, buddy." Because there's that place of, and what's so good about it is, it's exactly as you say what we started the evening with, poking the bear, not because I should do that or that's going to make me a good right person or anything, but because I realize that's a place where I'm being controlled by the voices.
Right.
So that's a perfect place where I'm gonna. I mean, it's what we're starting tomorrow, right? The 5 mile challenge. That's a perfect place where I'm going to stand up and say, I don't really want to be controlled around that anymore. So I'm going to get some Sangha support for that.
And I have signed up for it, and I've got a few areas of resistance that I want to work on. So I'm really excited to participate in that and, you know, use that as another support structure for, like you said, not getting controlled.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Jen, and thank you, Michael, and
thank you,
all of Sangha. Deeply, deeply grateful for everything and everyone in practice. Thank you.
Indeed, indeed. Thanks for calling, Todd.
Yeah, go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for calling, Todd. And Jen, in the interest of time, I'm going to move to our next caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hey, Susan. Hi. this is really interesting. I was noticing part of me that was, I was like listening to the call, and I was experiencing, at first, I just felt really uncomfortable, nervous, and I was like, oh, maybe I should leave the call, you know, or maybe I should call in. Mm. So there was all this confusion coming up and kind of almost this like desperate feeling of like, oh, I really need to like talk to them so that I, it was all coming from this place of like, I should, I know this stuff.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
As the call was going on, I was noticing, oh, that's interesting, Susan. All of this is coming from, I should, you know, like,
uh-huh.
I should be able to be with these feelings more easily. I should call in and get support and help. I should maybe hang up because I'm feeling nervous and I need my nervous system to calm down. So it was coming from these shoulds. And I was really realizing that while I was listening to call. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. This is the conditioned voice again. The conditioned voice.
Good for you. Good for you, Susan. That, I project, is the place we talk about a lot, where instead of looking through conditioned mind, you're looking at it. You're seeing that that's happening. You're realizing, oh, that's a process. I don't have to do that. I don't have to hang up the phone because the voices tell me, oh, gosh, no, you know, I'm having these feelings, and so I better hang up. I can just see that that's what the voices are saying.
Yes, and the voices were also telling, though, also, oh, you should really put yourself in the queue because you really need to
take exactly. So right, because as soon as you see it, as soon as you see it, right, it's got to jump to the other side, right? Just keep you in the conversation. And then the other thing you said was confusion. Well, of course, right? Because, okay, wait, what? What am I supposed to do? It's that place where Sherry says confusion is looking to condition mind for clarity. And, of course, there isn't any clarity there. The whole point is to confuse us and to keep us in a duality that's never going to take us where we want to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's so right, because I notice so often, especially when one is in a difficult place with difficult feelings, you know, or that for me, often that confusion comes up, not knowing what to do and how, and just kind of that desperation is like pulling me one way or another way and back again and back again. And then how my conditioned mind is trying to figure it all out, right? Like, to make the perfect, right decision.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Susan, can I pause for just one second and ask, you're a little bit muffled for me. And let me ask Michael, because maybe my phone tonight, I'm not sure. Michael, is Susan a little muffled for you?
Can hear Susan fairly well.
Oh, okay. All right. That's probably just my connection then.
Well,
so,
I
Susan, I think
what... I'll put
go
it
ahead.
A little closer to my mouth. I was going to say that might help.
Oh, that's better, actually. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it was like under my scarf a little bit.
Yeah. So let me see if I tracked that. I think I missed a couple of keywords, but I may have gotten it. So I think what you were saying is it can be especially hard when you're in a hard place yourself, going through something challenging, and then the voices are there kind of convincing you, well, you need to figure out how to deal with this. Is that sort of what you were pointing at?
Yeah, and it keeps jumping back and forth all the time, right? So it's a lot of confusion.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's like you need to know how to deal with this fear inside of you, this like you need to know what to do with this part of you that's like longing for love and just crying out, please love me, please love me. You need to learn how to you know, give yourself that love. So it's a lot of like actually shoulds behind that, I realized. And then it's
and
like,
so,
oh, you should get support. Oh, no, you should do it yourself. Yeah, so it's a lot of like.
Exactly. Well, and so unhelpful, right? So completely unhelpful to be, you know, basically barraging us with, okay, so here we are. We're already in a hard situation, right? Well, you should be able to deal with this. I mean, you should be able to deal with that da-da-da, right? And then again, as you say, swinging us from one side of the duality to the other. I mean, you really got to get some support for this. You got to get some help with this. No, you should be able to deal with this on your own. Why can't you deal with this on your own?
And that kind of makes one like this kind of in this place of like feeling kind of like crazy and
absolutely
helpless. Maybe helpless is actually the better word. Just feeling really helpless because one doesn't know what to do at all. Paralyzed. For me, at least, kind of that helpless, paralyzed place then, you know?
Yeah.
Not knowing why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if we're going to, if the voices are what we're turning to assist us, absolutely, we're gonna feel all those ways. And what do you find, Susan, is truly helpful in those places?
Well, I was really trying to look at that while I was, like, listening to listening to you talking tonight, right, with the people calling in. So I was just at the same time trying to just notice these voices, and I was like, oh, yes, these are all should voices. That's not coming from a loving place, Susan. So can I just let all those voices go that are not coming from a loving place? And it's really hard because, you know, they're so strong, right, that, like, you need to figure this out, right? And so that's what I just practiced. I was aware of it. I think, you know, just hearing some of the people also what they were talking about, you talking with them helped a little bit to know to like realize, oh yeah, these are should voices. These aren't helpful voices. These are coming from the conditioned mind. They're not helping me. They're not supporting me. They're not loving. They're not compassionate. So how about I just let all these voices go because I actually don't have to do any of it. I don't have to call in. And also I don't have to run away from it either. And that gave me like a lot of like space, and in that moment where I noticed that, I was like, oh yeah, now I feel like calling in.
and that is so big to see, Susan, and here would be my strong encouragement to make that recording, and luckily this is being recorded, so you can listen back to this recording and hear all the things you just said, because all of that would be so perfect to have on a recording. Because that's, I project, what you want to hear, exactly what was available, right? Oh, my goodness, you don't have to listen to any of that. You know, the voices are not on your side. They're not, I can't remember. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Please use your words when you listen back to this recording. But all of those things, and then so significant to see that through all of that, once you had that true kind of, we could say, mentoring, what came out was, you know what, I do want to call in. That's what I actually want to do. I want to connect. I want to be with Sangha. I want to be here. I want to be present. I want to participate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it came from a different place. It came from like
exactly
a space that felt more free and open and you know, allowing me to just make a decision from a more calm, peaceful, loving place, you know, that kind of.
Yes.
And know I should do this or that. And sometimes these shoulds also, in my mind, it's like, well, sometimes they're also coming from, like, thinking that to really get help, I need to call in to be connected with Sangha. And Sherry would be like, yeah, call in, you know, because you need to do that if you have a problem, right? You need to call in. But then I realized, oh, yeah, it's just my mind playing tricks on me again, that conditioned mind. That
exactly.
Then uses, you know,
wanting me
people,
to not call
right?
in.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah, other people who, you know, who are like teachers for me, right? Thinking that that's what they would say to me. But in reality, it's like exactly the opposite. It would be like, you know, listen to what's most compassionate for you, the most compassionate thing to do for you in that moment. And it could be calling in, but maybe not. And in either way, it doesn't really, it doesn't matter one way or another, as long as it's coming from that compassionate.
It's place. Presence, isn't it? That's what we're yeah. truly practicing. We're practicing being here in the present moment. Yep. Supported by that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah. I guess that's right. It's just really being present and just really paying attention to those voices and what.
Yeah.
Being very attentive at
yes.
where they're coming from, right? And
yes, exactly. Well, noticing all of it, exactly what you started with, noticing all of it and looking at conditioned mind instead of through it, which is what you articulated perfectly.
Yeah, it's like taking a step back and just like really
taking a step back.
Being aware.
Yes.
Yeah, taking a step back.
Yes, and again, that's where recording and listening is so perfect because it assists us to make that movement. We see that there's a process going on here. There's a lot of confusion. There's whatever's happening. And then I record about that. And then I'm, you know, facilitated to see what's actually so. Oh, you know, what I realize is, and there we are. We're back here.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was so great I could do that all in my head, though, while listening to
yes,
you.
Exactly.
And I was on my bike at the same time.
That's practice coming through for us. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling in with that tonight, Susan.
Uh-huh. Thank you. I just had a quick question. The course tomorrow, we can still sign up for that. Is that what you said?
Yes. Yep. We extended the deadline to 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm.
And we can work on several things. Is that right? That was not so clear for me. Or there's a possibility to work on several things.
You might, if you're clear you want to sign up, you might go ahead and sign up and then join us on tomorrow. And we'll kind of get into the more nitty-gritty of how it's all going to work when we talk tomorrow.
Okay. But it could be more than one thing, right?
Could be. Yep.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to ask that question. So thank you so much. I appreciate
thank you, Susan. Take care. It sounds like we'll see you tomorrow.
I hope so. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. Another great conversation, and I am feeling very enthusiastic and lit up, Jen. So thank you, and thanks to all of Sangha.
Thank you, Michael, and thanks to all of Sangha as well. Go happy.
And go happy.
All right. Good night.